You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. And, Paul, we are getting down the stretch in the NBA. Also, March Madness. So I do want to start March Madness. I know you're a huge fan of the madness. And the men's bracket, of course, is an absolute gong show as far as upsets go, which is great to me. Of the four remaining teams, who do you like?
Right now, Jason, I like UConn. I think they're the best team. The fact that they were, a fourth seed was laughable, and that was one of the early commentaries when the seeding was out, that what's a team like UConn doing in that position? But the fact remains that's what they were, and I think going into this crazy Final Four, where the other three teams, none of them have ever had their teams in the Final Four, I think you have to pick UConn as the favorite. Having said that, Miami is really tough. Florida Atlantic is really tough. And San Diego State is really difficult to play against. So it's anything but a sure finish. But I think you have to go in favor of UConn right now.
The women's side, a little bit different because it has lots of the top seeds that are in the final right now. Of course, number one, South Carolina versus number two, Iowa, number three, LSU versus number one, Virginia Tech. And the women's game still, for the most part, Paul, you know, the top seeds, not always ones, of course, because we saw two number ones out fairly early, but usually the top two or three seeds are still there. The men's game, there seems to be more spread out, and you've mentioned it's because of the three-point game. Are you starting to see that more in the women's? Do you think you're going to see more upsets moving forward there as well?
I think so. I think one of the comments that a number of people I spoke with this year, and I certainly would echo them, is the difference between the top teams and the lower seeded teams. That gap is narrowing, Jason. It is no longer the expected 30 to 50 point blowouts. That wasn't uncommon when the number one women's team would play a number 16. That gap is narrowing, and the skill level and the depth of talent in the women's game really continues to grow and to expand. So I think parity, it's not there yet, but it's much better and it's much more entertaining than it ever was, because more players on the women's side are better than they were. And on the men's side, it is the combination of the three-point game, like you indicated, but it's also adding in the name, image, and likeness opportunities that players have, and now the freedom of movement of going into the portal that really has in 1 year changed the complexion of men's basketball, certainly. And it's going to be very interesting how that continues to affect the men's game going forward.
Now we go to the NBA. Raptors have won three in a row. They put themselves four games up on Washington, who's in 11th place. So, you know, it looks like the Raptors bare minimum are going to be in the play-in game for sure. Them and the Hawks are pretty much tied for eighth place at this point. And then they're two back of Miami, two and a half back of Brooklyn. They have a pretty tough schedule, though. I was looking at the Raptors' schedule. They got the Celtics twice, the 76ers, and the Bucks. And so I guess we'll find out down the stretch here if the Raptors are anything other than just a play-in team, like depending on how they play against those, you know, the top three teams in the NBA East.
Boy, you couldn't ask for a better way to frame the Raptors going into the playoffs, because they have done a good job recently, Jason, of beating the teams they should beat. Teams with sub-500 records, teams that, you know, you would expect a good team like the Raptors to be able to handle, and they have taken care of business, which is great. Now, though, you're right, this is the litmus test. They're playing the top teams in the East as they get ready for the playoffs. They should be relatively healthy, so we should see the Raptors at full strength against the best teams in the East and find out if this team, after this long, very, very up-and-down season, is now battle-tested, ready, and improving to the point where they could go into the play-in game and maybe even into a series and be a threat, where I think 6 weeks ago we thought they were no threat at all. So the Raptors have done a pretty darn good job in the last few weeks of changing the narrative.
If they could, like, who's a better matchup for them? The Bulls, the Hawks? Who do you see as a better matchup, or the Heat?
I thought it was the Bulls, but then the Bulls handled them recently. The addition of Beverly has really, I think, galvanized the Bulls. He's certainly a glue guy that just can't stick. The one place he's a glue guy on the team he's on, it's just that he's on so many different teams. But when he's on a team, he certainly makes them tougher. So the Bulls with Patrick Beverly are a lot tougher than they were without him. I would say of those three, I would probably go with the Hawks. I think that's who they match up better with than anybody else. But you know what? I think they're capable of beating any of those three teams. I think at full strength, the Raptors are the best of those four teams. I don't believe in Miami. And they've had so much they've had so many injuries, and they're going to go into the playoffs pretty banged up. So right now, I think the Raptors are in a pretty good position going into the playoffs to maybe make a little bit of noise.
As we're getting closer to the playoffs, Memphis is on fire right now, Paul. They've won seven in a row. They've not 100%, but pretty much have locked down the number two seed, I would think, at this point. The Golden State Warriors starting to find their rhythm a little bit. And then, of course, you've got the Suns with Durant. And then the Nuggets. Who do you like going into the playoffs in the West?
I really like Memphis. With Morant, as long as he is contrite and can stay out of trouble, with him, they're a really tough team. Denver has been shaky at times. They still have Jokic and his ability to work his magic. Suns and Durant are still an unknown because Durant has been hurt so much of the time he's been with Phoenix again. So if Durant is healthy, very, very dangerous. Golden State, you're right, Jason, they found their rhythm, but it hasn't been a rhythm that has been able to sustain itself over a long stretch. So I'm not going into this playoffs thinking Golden State's really going to put it together. I don't think that switch is there to be flipped this year. Right now, Memphis, with the combination of offensive explosiveness and the ability to lock down on defense, I feel right now they're the team to beat in the West.
What have you made of Durant in Phoenix? How's he fitting in? Too early to tell?
I think the few times they've played together, he fits in just fine. And I think they're a much better team with him than they are without him. I think if he can stay healthy, they're going to be formidable. But that's the key. Can this guy stay healthy in his mid-30s with the kind of injuries he's had and the kind of stretches he's had to sit out? That's the big question mark. If he's healthy, he's in the lineup, boy, Phoenix is going to be tough to beat in a seven-game series. So I like how he sits with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Ayton. I think that's a heck of a team as long as Durant's healthy. Without him, they're still good, but I don't think they're the kind of good that you would look at and say, that's a team that's really going to contest getting to the NBA Finals. I think without him, the top teams in the West are clearly better to me than Phoenix is.
Paul, looking at the Nuggets, and because you like the Grizzlies a lot, the Nuggets, they're not the flashiest team, but like this, they're hard to beat, right? Like, is there a concern you have at all about the Nuggets?
My concern is defensively. I just don't know that they're enough of a lockdown defensive team that if they're and I'll just go head to head. I'll just say Memphis versus Denver in a seven game series. Jokic is just genius. Can will Denver to a series win? There's no question about that. But I think the edge, if I had to give one to Memphis, is I think they're a better defensive team. And I think that's where I think Denver is a bit vulnerable, is can they stop a real good team enough? And can a real good team disrupt their offensive flow? Now, again, that the thing with Jokic is kind of like having Picasso on your team. You just don't know what he's going to paint next. And he might find new ways to beat somebody else. If you're talking personal favorites, I want the Nuggets to win. I want the Nuggets to come out of the West. But I just feel that Memphis has a couple of those little, intangibles that I think could make a difference over the course of a seven-game series. Plus, they're a very good team offensively as well. So it's an intriguing matchup, and I sure hope that is the matchup we see in the Western Conference Finals.
Paul, great stuff, man. I look forward to it. Playoffs coming around the corner for both the NBA and the NHL. I can't wait. Appreciate your time.
Can't wait for sure. Now, here's my final question to you, Jason. If you're going to design a play for the last second three-point shot in the NCAAs, who would you pick to take that shot?
Of NCAA players?
Any right NCAA now? Player, yes.
Of all time?
Nope, right now.
Oh, God.
I'll make it easy. Caitlin Clark from Iowa.
Really? You think she's the best three-point shooter?
Yes, I do. Yeah, she's unbelievable. That game that she had against Louisville to go to the Final Four was one for the ages. And her range is almost limitless. She is a female Curry. So, anyway, sorry for the trick question to spring it on you there.
So you're saying we should be watching her. Is she draft eligible this year, the WNBA?
I think so. I believe she is for the WNBA. And it's going to be a real tough test because South Carolina is so good. And they've won a national championship, so it's going to be really tough. But Caitlin Clark is always worth the price of admission.
If she is draft eligible, Paul, will she be like Steph Curry and get overlooked by numerous teams before getting drafted seventh?
I don't think so. I think I think that ship sailed. Anybody can shoot like Curry does now, they're going right away.
All right, Paul, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
There you go.